Let's go on to the next case.
So this is a very similar case to the one we just discussed. Another young man who's 62, had a PSA of 4.2, two of six cores involving Gleason 3 plus 4 equal to 7 on the right, left side negative, DRE is normal. He undergoes a radical prostatectomy, and they want to know what the risk of him having extracapsular extension, seminal vesicle invasion, or positive margins are. And this goes back to the same issue. Given that he's got a Gleason of 3 plus 4, or a Gleason 7, that's the biggest risk factor here. The rest of it really isn't. If you take into account the number of positive cores, you'd probably put his risk of extracapsular extension at more than 20%, actually, which was the final choice. And the reason why is a lot of that's microscopic. Very little of it is established or gross, but it's probably on the order of 30% in this gentleman's case. And so the next question came down to his final pathology is upgraded to a Gleason 8. He's got a positive margin. Now what do you do? And the thinking here is exactly the same as the thinking on the prior question is you'd have the discussion with him about a high failure rate, and the two of you would then decide whether they were willing to go ahead with treatment at this point or not. I would add one more thing, though, here, which wasn't in the choices. Now that he has a Gleason 8, he doesn't only have risk factors for local failure. He's got a risk factor for distant failure as well. And so the discussion I would have with him is it's really, in my mind at that point, three choices. One is observation and treat at the time of failure if he doesn't want to undergo the potential side effects for what benefit may be gleaned. The second one would be radiation alone, recognizing that there's a progression-free survival benefit. But the one that I would favor if he wanted to have treatment would be radiation and short-course hormonal therapy of 6 months, simply because the Gleason 8 itself is a predictor of micrometastatic disease. And we know now that 6 months of hormonal therapy appears to be able to, at least to some extent, impact micrometastatic disease from the trials, the Australian trial and the Harvard study in the de novo setting. So why shouldn't it in the adjuvant setting?
You know, it's interesting. My perception is that radiation oncologists are much more tuned in to, again, post-surgical, what I would call adjuvant therapy, than surgeons are. And I think that kind of comes out of their experience with adjuvant hormonal therapy and patients getting radiation. Is that your take?
Yes, there's two reasons for it. One, radiation oncologists are actually trained as oncologists, and so they learn adjuvant therapies from other cancers, not just prostate, but breast in particular, colorectal. And so their mindset is very much into, you know, usually combined modality therapies. Think about what we do in rectal cancer. It's 5-FU and radiation. What do we do in breast cancer? It's usually chemotherapy and hormonal therapy. So the studies that are being done now in the man we just presented is a study which looks at hormonal therapy with or without Taxotere. And the comment was raised by the panel last night, which is a good one, is that radiation is not allowed in that study, which is quite interesting because what they're basically saying is this is a systemic problem predominantly, but I think leaving out the local control component is probably not in the best interest of that study. I think radiation probably should be allowed unless you're in a situation where it's clear that, you know, a guy with a Gleason 10 and seminal vesicles and margins positive everywhere, well then, you know, the local control issue becomes moot. But in a guy like this who had minimal disease except for a margin and upgraded to an 8, both patterns of failure are going to predominate.
And so then we then asked the audience, or the audience was then asked, assuming the patient didn't receive therapy at that point of post-op being very high risk, you wait 18 months, the PSA is less than 0.1. At 24 months, the PSA is 0.22. Can you talk about how you would have approached that problem, what the audience said?
Well, I think the audience actually responded quite appropriately here. The two most common answers were radiation alone or radiation and 6 months of hormonal therapy, with the second one being half the audience, which is the one I would have chosen based on the discussion we were just having about this man being at risk for both patterns of failure. But I think that the people who chose radiation alone are probably looking at the, you know, the SWOG adjuvant study and saying, hey, it looks like there may be a benefit there. And so they stuck with that. And they may not have gotten the whole picture. But I think, you know, half the audience got the whole picture, a third of the audience got half the picture, and then a third were sort of still in other areas.